Hey everyone, welcome to another weekly Team REI Vault Huddle call. Today is Tuesday, May 26, 2015. Welcome to the call. Excited to have you. I see that there's a few new people on this call. And this is an informal call, an opportunity to ask questions that can be related to a deal. It can be related to a technical question on Podio. Something that you need help with, something related to a VA, whatever it might be. This is just an opportunity to ask questions. We mute everybody out to remove the background noise. If you have a question, just press on your phone *5, and Chris and I will see that, and we can bring you into the call. And if we don't see any more questions in the queue, then we end the call. So this could be as long as an hour, or it could be 15 minutes. So if you have specific questions, you'll press *5. And then if you do ever have questions, you can always email support@salesteamlive.com. Be as clear as possible with your question. It's technical in nature, and we want everything. We've got a fairly sizable team now. We've got about 26 people on staff. So when you send that email, it's actually being floated around to get the fastest answer possible. So support@salesteamlive.com. If it's a real estate deal question and you want specific help from Chris or myself, you can always email dealhelp@reivault.com. So with that, Chris, any updates you want to share with the group before we open the call up for questions?
No, I don't have any updates. I just wanted to maybe give just a little bit of a tip. That I've been more steadfast in implementing on a daily basis, and that is that we talked about coming back from the holiday, and one of the things I always try to do is the day before, and or if not Friday, before I end my day, I always find that I have best results when I script the following day. And that is by scripting, I mean that not necessarily putting a to-do list in place, but rather taking whatever items I have to do for the next day. So that could be on a Friday, could be for Monday, or on a Monday, like today, would be for Tuesday, is I would sit down before the day is over, or even sometimes if I'm not able to at night, and I go through all the items I got to do and try to figure out what are the most important items and then fit them into a scheduled time block so that I know that I've set aside time during the day to get those done. And obviously, as the day rolls by, trying to stick with the schedule, but I find that we all have a variety of different things to do, and that for me, having that in place kind of relieves a little bit of the anxiety associated with, hey, how am I going to get all this stuff done versus, knowing that, hey, here's what I have on my schedule. And it allows me to kind of start the day off, I think, with a running start instead of just coming on and trying to wondering what I got to do today. I kind of start the day with knowing, hey, these are the most important items that I got to get done. Here's the time that I've allotted to them. Put in some buffer times as well. And then that allows me to just be focused. So I learned that from Dan Kennedy. And again, he calls it more scripting instead of a task list, where you're putting in specific times during the day that you're going to do certain things and you're allotting particular blocks of time. And just in general, feel more control. So I thought I'd mention that because you and I had a little bit of a conversation about that, and I know everybody's coming in for the holiday weekend, and there's always things to do and a variety of tasks that all of a sudden seem to avalanche. And so I find that helps me manage my day and try to keep on the things that matter most. But that's more about wanted to mention that. So not really thing specific, but maybe for those on the call that might find it helpful.
No, that's perfect. I think, Chris, you and I have been, if we don't actually have a very detailed project list with due dates and owners, it never gets done. Wouldn't you agree with that? We've got to be,
yeah.
Execution all comes down to, it's all stuff that this block and tackle. I see some people, I know some people on this call that are here today are amazing at it. And they're probably listening and saying, yeah, this is just basic project management and using your time efficiently. And then there's other people that struggle with it. And the answer is that all businesses that are actually, you know, real businesses are working off of a project plan. And I know that even you and I, every single day, we have our huddle call at 1:07 p.m. Eastern every single day. It's 5 days a week, and we are always looking at the project plan and going back to what rocks are we moving along and who can we assign them to and what do we need to adjust. And the reprioritization, and when we don't do that, is when things don't get done, or more gets put on our plate. So that's good. Let's see. Do we want any other updates you want to give before we open up the call line here?
No, I don't have anything else specific.
All right. So we're going to open it up. If you have a question for Chris or myself, or we want to address it, allow other people to interact, press *5, and we will bring you into the call. So you can press *5 on your phone. And then if we don't have any more questions, then we'll just end the call early. Any questions? Press *5. Here's one. I don't know who it's from. It's blocked, but I'll open it up. All right. I don't know who this is, but just press *5. You are live.
Hey. Gary, Chris.
Hey, how are you? Who's this?
Good. This is John of Memphis. A few weeks ago, you guys mentioned that you guys did other types of marketing besides, you know, what we're doing as a group. You know what I'm talking about? Sending out stuff in local markets.
Okay. Yes.
I think it's for sellers.
Okay.
So can you send us or tell us where to go in the REI vault to look at what it is you guys have sent out? Because I've told your office that I've set up a meeting with one of these people, a potential seller, potential buyer. Actually, it's probably a potential buyer.
You're looking for the sample marketing pieces, you mean for sellers that we're sending out, including the pre-sale package, et cetera?
No, not like the pre-sale that we would do ourselves. What it is you're doing in our local market that I didn't send out myself.
Oh, in other words, what are we sending out that is not that is different than the typical REI Vault campaign currently? Is that correct?
No.
Exactly.
I think what you're asking... We're recruiting additional people into the REI Vault group. So what you're saying is, and I don't think we marketed in Memphis in your market. So this somebody may have gotten a postcard or a recruiting invitation, John. And I think that's what you're asking. You're not talking about whether they're seller or buyer marketing. You're saying we're recruiting for more members into the REI Vault group, right?
Maybe that's it. I mean, I see that stuff because I get it to my email addresses when you send out recruiting, but somebody called the office, and it's something separate that you guys are doing than what I'm doing in the Memphis market. And
hey, John, you know what I think is the easiest thing is, I'll call you offline. So
okay.
Let me just tell you, you should be super happy about this. I had somebody that called in that was interested in your market, and I told them that your market was taken, that we already had somebody in there. However, this particular person, and I think Adrian was the one that reached out to you, because I said, hey, Adrian, reach out to John, and this is a rehabber. This is a guy that wants to buy, and he's looking for property, and John may be a good John may be able to flip some properties to this guy. So I was the reason that you ended up getting that call or that email from Adrian. So that's
okay.
How that worked.
So, okay.
So we can chat separately, but let's chat about that separately because I was the one that hooked you up. In fact, in the last week or two, I've had some people that have wanted to join the REI Vault group. And when the market is taken by somebody else, we make a decision, is this a really good candidate? And then we just say, hey, we can probably put you on a buyer's list. And then we just hook you up. I know I've pushed some people out to Jason Murphy and others in this group. Like we get a lot of people in San Antonio as an example. And San Antonio is a taken market. And so whenever somebody comes into San Antonio, we'll provide that contact information. Say, hey, here's a buyer for you. Anyway, that's what happens.
Okay. Well, give me a call offline sometime whenever you get a chance.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
All right.
No, thank you.
All right. Do you have a question? I don't see anybody else in the queue. If you have a question, press star 5. This is looks like Sean. Sean, I'm going to bring you. You're in. Sean, you're live.
Oh, hi, Gary. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
What's happening?
All right. Fantastic. Thanks for asking. Hey, I just signed up here about 2 weeks ago, and I'm on my second mailing that's going out this week. And I was just wondering, what do you guys normally see from the amount of leads that you mail to before you start seeing a lot of leads maybe coming into the REI Vault funnel system?
I mean, that depends on each market. In other words, you did your first mailing. When did your first mailing drop?
It went out last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday. Okay, so have you started to have leads come in, or you're still kind of waiting?
Yeah, actually, I did have about 14 leads that came in between seller calls and hang-ups.
It depends, you know, do have a national average, but then that's as a kind of a guide. But then really what overrides that is actually once you start doing the marketing, you start getting calls, and at that point we can see whether or not you're about the average. Some markets are never going to meet that average. So in other words, even though our national average may be, say, 8, and some markets may be lower, some markets may be higher. If you did put the mail out on Wednesday, I'm not sure when it got to the warehouse, and also with regards to the holiday weekend. So I would probably say your next mailing is set to go out this week, I assume, right?
Yes, it is. I think in 2 days. Yeah.
So once that goes out, and then we had the opportunity to make sure that the previous one got out and got delivered because of the holiday, then at that point you can kind of get a benchmark and say, okay, is this on track or not on track, et cetera. And again, it also depends on your market as well. I don't recall off the top of my head what your market was, what the location of your market was.
Yes, I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Okay. So Dallas, it just depends. I mean, I don't know what your – probably the best thing to do would be is – my thought is if this – probably by the end of the week, we could probably run a report to see what this first drop has been percentage-wise and then see if it's, you know, plus or minus. Dallas is a good market. You know, we've had success personally, Gary and I, doing deals there. But it may be that some of the calls were delayed because of the holiday.
Okay, yeah, sure. That's what I was thinking, too. And actually, my first drop went out 2 weeks ago, so I didn't really get anything over the weekend from – more than likely the holiday year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just looking it up, Sean. A couple things. It looks like a mailing just went out today. And the first mailing went out on the 13th, which looks like it would have been dropped in the mail. But those calls, you know, your Dallas is definitely a more competitive market. So I would I would still anticipate, I'm just looking. I'd say give it another day or two from your last week's mailing because of the holiday. If from the mailing you dropped today, most of the calls from today are going to probably come in on Friday. Saturday and Monday of next week. So I'd just be real watchful of those. So I think the next couple of weeks should be really telling. What's your budget per month?
I think it was a little over 3,000. I think they split it up into 2 months.
Okay.
A little over 3,000.
Okay. Yeah, I would watch. You know, most of the calls come in typically between 4 and 7 days after the mail drops.
Okay.
And so you'll see them literally over, you know, 4 to 7 days, and they do all come in pretty quickly. We've seen some stuff that's gone out. Just had something else that happened in Texas, and the calls came in literally a month later. Postcards went out. We actually verified because we thought that maybe the mailings didn't go out. We validated all the way through the USPS, but it took literally a month for those to get delivered. No idea why. Then all of a sudden it was Steve Carlson, and then lo and behold, one day all of a sudden the cards started coming in. We did a mail drop on a vacant list and thought either the list was bad or the mailing didn't go out. Well, it looked like it just took a long time. So give it another, you know, I just watch this over the next couple of weeks real carefully.
Okay, that sounds good.
Cool. Any other questions? Okay. I'll put you back on hold, Sean. Looks like next call is coming in from Graham. Graham, you are live.
Yeah, hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hey, Graham.
Hey, how's it going? I first wanted to say that in Tampa Bay market in Florida, you sent us one of those people that wanted our territory as a possible buyer of our inventory. So I'm confirming that you have done that. I appreciate it.
Oh, awesome. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, Graham, I actually talked to them. I think they'll be a good that's the guy in Clearwater, right? He and his
yeah.
son?
Yeah, correct.
Awesome.
So my question today is, the first is, there's a new competitor, we have tons of competitors, but a new one, seems like a pretty solid operation called Networth Realty. I think they're based out of Texas, and they've got several offices nationwide. And it kind of falls into my next question is, what do you know about them and, you know, kind of their operation? But more importantly, I've been asked a lot of questions about staffing, like,
you broke out, Graham.
Yeah. We lost him. He will probably give him another minute or two to dial back in. If anybody else has a question, press star 5, and then when Graham dials back in, we'll bring him back on the line. So if you got a question, press star 5. There he is. Graham, I'm going to bring you back in just a second. Graham, you hear us? Hey, Chris, you still there?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay. I don't see that. Let me see if I can bring Graham. Graham, are you back on yet?
Hey, can you guys still hear me? Sorry, I'm driving.
Okay.
Probably not the best idea,
yeah.
But.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, I didn't hear the question on, you said Networth Realty?
Need to start there, and they've got their stuff together. They know what they're doing. They're in like 12 cities. You know, most of the guys I'm talking to that are doing 100 to 150 wholesales a year, which is, you know, what we're aiming for, are staffing no more than about 4 people or 5 people. So I wanted to know a little bit more about, first off, that kind of competition that moves into a market that's a big player like that, or I feel the bigger player, and kind of what you do for your offices, staffing-wise. I mean, I kind of know, but an idea of, you know, if you're shooting big, how big do you start?
I mean, the Networth Realty, It reminds me of, I don't know if you know, back in the days, I don't know how long you've been in the business, but I don't know if you've back in the days, you remember that RealNet USA?
Yes.
So it reminds me of RealNet. You know, a lot of those outfits got involved, and their competition in the sense that typically they might overpay for stuff more so than what you would pay. And that's because the majority of their buyers are not guys like you, but rather the first-time buyer of an investment property who, you know, maybe, you know, whereas you, to do a full rehab, you might, you know, you need to make a certain minimum profit for it to be viable for you. They tend to get a lot of these customers that will overpay, you know, for a property, or maybe they'll take less on a rehab. They might make very skinny margins, but for them, you know, some money is better than no money. So I think, if anything, that's the thing I've encountered with them. I also think that for the most part, they don't do a lot of marketing like we do. Because I remember from RealNet when they were up and about in a few other outfits similar to that, most of their inventory came from the MLS, came from broker relationships. So even though, like, back in the day they were in competition here in the local market, we really didn't have that much competition from them because of where they were sourcing their properties. So we weren't really sourcing it from the same spot. But one thing I would know with them is that I would never sell properties to them because, and I'm not saying that they're the same, but a lot of times they've said that, yeah, we're a buyer, we'll buy your property, but they were only really looking to buy it if they could actually sell it to one of their buyers, and they were never really upfront with it. So if I'm going to wholesale property, I want to make sure that they're committed 100% and it's not contingent on them selling it to somebody else. So those are my thoughts. I don't know if that helps or doesn't help, or is that the insight you're looking for them on?
I mean, yeah, I know a lot of operations like that. I just wanted to hear what you thought of them because, you know, even in Tampa, which I feel is a bigger market, that's a pretty big, they have a big presence within 2 months. I mean, everywhere I go now, I'm starting to see their bandit sign. I'm starting to see ads. But I know a lot of stuff pulled off MLS and Reddit. It's a lot of skinny deals. We have several companies like that. You know, I did 200 deals this year, but, you know, I think their average spread was like $2,500. So it's like a big deal. You know?
Right, right.
That sounds like a lot of work for not a whole lot of money. But, yeah, I just wanted to hear that. But basically, I'm more towards trying to get to the staffing. You know, a company starts with 10, maybe because 8 guys are looking on the MLS all day and writing contracts is why they need such a big staff, you know.
Well, I mean, for that, you mean that they have a big staff, right?
Yeah, I mean, 10 people in an office plus a manager starting up for a company, it's a wholesale company. That's, like I said, to me, that seems like they're planning on, they better be some big volumes to sell those kind of numbers. I'm sure a lot of commission-based, even stuff.
Yeah, you know, if that model allows you, the model that they run, which is, there's another outfit down here in the South Florida area that kind of does the same thing, a couple ones that do the same thing. You know, there's no cost structure for them. So, like, for you, like, if you wanted to hire some guys and do, you know, you'd have to probably do more marketing, and so there's a particular fixed cost involved with them. It's kind of just, it's more bodies. So, in other words, they'll bring in somebody that is a real estate agent, so there's no overhead for them on that. It's only commission only, so there's no salary whatsoever, because they're used to, you know, as an agent, they're used to dealing with in that way. So, for them, sometimes it could be a little bit more churn than burn because they're looking to get bodies in. Maybe an agent will come in, do a couple of deals, but then they figure out that that's not what it cracked up to be. They leave and then they get somebody else in. So it tends to be somewhat of a revolving door. And they're really not any one agent making a lot of money. It's just they're looking at the numbers. You know, they got enough agents calling MLS deals and calling brokers. They'll do it in volume, but it's hard for you to replicate that. You know, and try to build it from build a quality team. Like if you're bringing in someone that's going to handle your leads and then you're training them as a salesperson, you're looking for them to grow, looking for them to have a certain volume because you're providing them a certain amount of leads, et cetera. So it's a different model. And then also from a couple guys that I know that kind of run the same outfit, there's less control because, you know, if you were to bring somebody in your office, you're providing the leads, you're providing them training, you have much better control. You can tell them what time to be in the office, what to do. Sometimes with those, it's you know, the agents basically do whatever they want. You know, so there's a bit of a lack of control from the broker in that office environment versus if you had brought your own in-staff person, specifically providing them leads and training them and holding them accountable, et cetera.
Right. All right. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Gary.
All right, cool. Chris, any final remarks for before we end?
Even though we have this call here during the week, we're always available to you guys through the support channels, support@chelsealab.com, and also on dealhelp@reivault.com if you need us to review any deals or anything specifically related to transactions. So I would encourage everybody to use those channels as well, during the course of the week where it's needed, because we're here available to you.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Have a good week. Take care.
Thanks.